Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. The Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast without any music. But regardless, it is still the podcast. It doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. In studio, to my left, is Philip Logan. Hello, Philip.
Hello, Jonathan.
And down the line, all the way in the shipping container, which is, well, snowed in, isn't it? Isn't it encased in permafrost or something? It's Tim Cocker.
Hello, JB. Hello, Phil. Yeah, in Hendon, in the TMO shipping container. By the way, the music has just been postponed. The music will hopefully be played again very, very soon. But yep. No official confirmation on when the music, the theme music, will be played.
Yeah, well, there is a story behind our lack of theme music. Me and Philip went for a few beers on Friday. Well, actually, quite a lot of beers.
One or two.
Yeah, a couple of beers. Nothing too excessive from 11 o'clock until 3 in the morning. And during this time, we lost my bag, which had my laptop charger in it, with all of our sound effects. So we're on a borrowed laptop today.
Right. Just to be clear, you mean 11 a.m., yeah?
Yes.
So the 11 p.m. till 3 a.m. wouldn't be that impressive. just wanted to clarify.
Yes, exactly, mate. Exactly.
To be even more clear, I really only joined in about 5 p.m. because I was at work for the rest of the time.
So were you on your own in that intervening period, JB?
No, I was with a couple of our mutual friends. We did our Secret Santa. It was all very good fun.
Lovely. Lovely. Well, I'm feeling very wintry and festive at the minute. Yes, I look out of the hotel room into the snow.
I was going to say, how has your weekend been?
Lots of travelling and lots of watching rugby, not as much working on rugby as I'd anticipated. So Saturday in Newcastle.
Wow, you've been to Miles?
And then travelled down from Newcastle to northwest London. Only to find out on Sunday morning, well, by Sunday lunchtime, that the Saracens game had been postponed, which was very, very disappointing.
Yeah, and also completely the wrong call as well, but never mind.
Well, we can definitely talk about that. Well, and just to put it in perspective, the time now is what 9:40, something like that, on Sunday evening?
Yeah.
I still don't know what is happening at this moment in time with the Saracens Claremont game, which I still believe may be replayed tomorrow. So I'm
Oh, is that right? Kind of,
yeah, don't know what the plan is.
Mm. Wow.
So I imagine there's some very, very I'm imagining the kind of conversations that are going on behind closed doors, probably different people with different opinions or agendas or points of view.
Tell you what, there is a lesson here, isn't
there? Can't be agreed.
There is a lesson here, isn't there, that the rugby calendar is so condensed now.
Yeah.
That anything goes wrong at all, there is no tolerance for any failure, pretty much.
There really is. So I was looking at this. So the quarterfinals of the Champions Cup are meant to be played on the 30th of March. Mm. There are two free weekends in between now and then in Saracen's calendar, and they're England weekends for the 4th and 5th rounds of the Six Nations.
Now,
There is also the potential of the, as they did with, if you remember, because the Anthony Foley death, they replayed a game, and I think that was in the third weekend in January, or towards the end of January, there is a weekend, but that is, again, an England training camp weekend. Yep. So Eddie Jones would be within his rights to say, sorry, Saracens, you can't have any of your England players.
Yeah.
Which is all of them.
Yeah. Which that is not acceptable to Saracens, and Clermont would lose a significant number of players as well, so it's not going to be acceptable to them. Mm. And then the only other option is to move, and it would probably have to be one of the Premier Rugby games, one of the Aviva games.
Well, if you remember, I think Saracens, sorry, not Saracens, I think Sail Sharks, obviously we've got to talk about Sail Sharks, had to move their game with Bath in order to fit in the fixture. Hang on, that doesn't make sense because it is... Yes, hang on.
Yeah.
Why did Sale have to move their game? Because it was Munster versus Racing.
No, there was another game. Bath had one postponed a couple of years ago.
I tell you what it was. It was the Paris shootings.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that affected... Yeah, you're right. But the difference with that one is the teams involved didn't make it to the knockout. Like Bath, Sale didn't make it to the knockout stages of Europe, which meant there was suddenly a couple of extra free weekends.
Oh, this gets rather tasty.
Interesting.
So I suspect Phil's call may be right. That we'll wait and see. Even in the course of this podcast, I may well get a message. But is it going to be behind closed doors with no fans? Is it going to be with fans? I have no idea at this point.
Yeah, well, thing is, Tim, there's only one thing which is really important, though. Will you get paid twice?
Do you know, I don't... That's
right.
No comment. So I don't know.
Oh, why? Sorry, this borrowed laptop has just decided to inform me that my antivirus is out of date, and now, oh no, it's still working. Why? Why?
Is this the laptop that had the meltdown a while ago?
It is the very same one.
Uh oh. Just keep an eye if it decides to start updating.
Oh, don't. So look, if anyone's interested, and I think it is a worthwhile campaign, particularly around the festive period, # justice for Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you don't need to feel sorry for me. It's fine.
No, justice for Tim. And make sure you include BT Sport on the tweet.
Stop it.
So...
we've got loads to talk about this weekend. Yeah, I love these European weekends.
Oh, I do as well. I mean, I tell you what, this one has been a bit weird, though. I mean, the doubleheaders are usually very exciting, aren't they? Because what you've got is some teams which are really, like, clawing to stay in the competition. Then you've got the guys that really want to, you know, strike out ahead. And for whatever reason it is, this weekend, it hasn't been the normal flowing sort of rugby you'd expect. But it has been a gritty scrap all weekend.
Well, there's been some flow in rugby.
Who are you referring to?
Maybe flowing is not the right word. It wasn't a gritty scrap, the Ospreys-Northampton game.
Do you know what?
And in terms of flowing rugby, you will not find rugby more fluent, more eccentric than La Rochelle.
Yeah.
Who are an absolute breath of fresh air.
I tell you what, I have not seen that game. I had to go on a festive steam train today. I saw all the games from yesterday, so I'll take your word for it on La Rochelle.
La Rochelle.
Watch that. If you haven't watched all the games and you just want to watch one, watch La Rochelle Wasps.
Yeah.
I saw the score. It was monumentally high. Was it 49-29 or something?
It was exactly that. Yeah. 78 points.
And if you want an away weekend to visit a lovely port... You know, it's not a massively happening town, so maybe from that point of view, the sort of evening night out wouldn't be to your liking too much. Although it is where cognac comes from, so
is that right?
Brandy is kind of its thing in that area. So anyway, but the atmosphere, it's like the new Toulon. It's the most fun I've had at an actual game in terms of a spectacle. The atmosphere is incredible,
and also you could say Toulon with the new Toulouse for a little while.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is La Rochelle is the new Toulouse.
Yeah, I guess I am, in a roundabout way, yeah.
Well, why don't we start with that then? Because I've not seen it, so tell me about it.
Well, I think we kind of touched on it there, Phil. So feel free to add, Phil. But effectively, La Rochelle play an all-court offloading... Give it if it's remotely on, they'll go for it wherever on the park it is, however risky it is, and it just leads to it was such an exciting game. and they scored some amazing tries. And in Bottia, he's a player. If I could pick one player from Europe that I want to see in the Avicii Premiership, it is Bottia, who is an incredible specimen who can play. He was playing an open side flanker for La Rochelle, but he also plays regularly 12 and wing.
I'm trying to think who you mean though. The name rings a bell, and I'm sure he did a number on, was it Ulster? Is Ulster in that group?
Yeah.
I'm sure it was like
the whole of La Rochelle's pack did a number on Ulster.
So
he was one of them. But yeah, it's a very good point, Tim. So he, as a seven, he kind of encapsulates the way that La Rochelle want to play, which is this expansive handling, offloading game. And just like you said, in the Autumn Internationals, only a couple of weeks ago, he started at 12 for Fiji, and he's playing seven and scoring tries for fun.
Bloody hell.
At the highest level of club rugby.
That sounds like the kid in school who was really good and can play anywhere.
Yeah,
exactly.
It kind of is. It's brilliant.
And they are, and this is their first ever Champions Cup, and they're 15 points from three games.
Do you know what warms my heart on these cold winter afternoons?
Lots of things, but why don't you tell me what you're thinking of right now?
Seeing Brock James still on the score sheet.
Brock James and Ryan Lamb.
Yeah, how?
So these two, I mean, I thought they were long since done.
Yes.
I thought Brock James is probably 2 years ago, I thought he'd had enough. He's now 36. He recently turned 36. Mm. And Ryan Lamb about 5 years ago, I thought was done. And he's just had this renaissance. Tim, did you see the cross-field kick from Ryan Lamb for the try?
So
quite remarkable.
This does lead me on to a thought I've had, particularly about Northampton and Ospreys. And La Rochelle probably encapsulate this, which is, and I don't mean culture in the Stuart Lancaster sense, but culture and coaching and good game planning is actually more important than your players.
Well, yeah.
They've got some good players.
Oh, yeah, and that's a lot of knock on their players. But, you know, think about when... Oh, Scarlets won the league, the Pro 12 last year. Before that, it was Connacht. You know, it's these teams. And to be fair to them, Saracens also have that thing going for them, which is that togetherness and certainty in the way that they play.
And Exeter do.
Yes, Exeter certainly do. Whereas Ospreys and Northampton, nothing.
I think that's a fair point. I would also point out that it's very, very rare. And in fact, I'm trying to rack my brains to think of an example when a team that play like La Rochelle have actually gone on and won anything. They led the top 14 all season and then kind of faded away towards the end. They got to the Challenge Cup semi-final and then had an off day and lost to Gloucester. So, and also, if you think about Clermont as an example of a side that, yes, they won the top 14 last year, but they've lost in 10 European finals.
Yeah,
amazing.
Or no, they've lost in a ton of European finals.
Yeah.
They kind of played, not quite the same, but they played that very expansive attacking rugby. So maybe it's great and it helps and it's... there's more examples of a kind of muscular champion than a expansive champion.
Agreed. But, I mean, would you class Connacht in that mould when they won the Pro 14? Because I think they played very nice rugby, actually.
They did play some nice rugby.
And Scarlets. Actually, Scarlets probably playing the nicest rugby in the British Isles last year.
Yeah, that's not far.
That's
fair. But isn't the top level European rugby, so...
No, to link into this... Oh, sorry, it sounded like you were about to say something, Phil. Go on.
I'm just going to make the point that La Rochelle, from what I've seen, which is this game against Wasps and their demolition against Ulster, it feels like they can do both.
Yeah.
It feels like they've got a pack that is big enough and hard enough to mix it with almost anyone, and they've got the backs and the skill to take anyone apart out wide.
Now, not take anything away from them, but they are in a group of teams that are just struggling to find their identity and find their feet.
True.
You know, what are Harlequins at the moment?
Well, one week beat Saracens, next week lose at home. to a comfortable
hospital. Let's
broaden
that out a second. Yeah. Then. Before we get into the specifics of Northampton, which I'm sure we want to get to, or Harlequins or whatever, broadly, this was six Premiership defeats for English, Avicii Premiership sides being defeated.
Mm.
So what do we read into that?
Personally, I don't read anything into it. Saracens didn't play. Exeter, the only one you can read into really is Exeter. I think Harlequins, Wasps and Northampton are having horrible seasons by their own standards. So I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the year there is no more Malander, no more Dorian West, John Kingston's gone, and Wasps will rebuild into a different type of team. So nothing too much in those.
All right, well, let's zoom in on Northampton, because
yeah, let's do it.
This was, as you say, the much maligned and struggling Ospreys team handing it to them.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, going back to what I said before regarding, you know, teams that have no identity, no style, they don't know what they're doing. Ospreys fall into that massively. They're not particularly well coached, but what they do have is a lot of quality up front. And when they get their absolute best team out, and this wasn't their absolute best team, they're missing Justin Tipperick, but they've got a second row which includes Alan Wynne-Jones and Bradley Davis. How bad can you be? You can win, and they did win. Northampton, for their part, it's poor. It's really, really poor. And it's not the rugby that concerns me so much, but the Franklin's Gordon crowd not showing up. The kind of almost the sense that that club is thrown in the towel, and what, we're only in December.
It was the rugby that concerned me most.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the crowd left after 55 minutes or whatever it was when Ospreys were 43-8 up. It was only really then that Northampton actually started playing. But before then, they couldn't get... Now, there are mitigating circumstances because Northampton went through four fly halves.
Three, wasn't it?
Well, they had four people.
Oh, yeah, because Nick Groom played, didn't he?
Yeah. They had four people occupy the fly half position in that game. But even when you're on one and two and three, they are all quality recognised fly halves.
Yeah.
Myler, Piers Francis, Harry Malander. It's difficult to actually say which one is number one.
Well, so there's an old saying in the NFL, which is when you've got two quarterbacks, you actually have none. And I feel the same way about Northampton and the fly halves. If you've got three...
Piers Francis and Harry Malander are not fly halves.
That's interesting, because I think...
They're not fly halves.
I think they've nailed their colours to the master, Piers Francis. That, to me, is the guy they want.
He's a 12.
I think you might be right. I think you might be right, but I think Northampton have bought him in as a 10, and that's probably why they're having issues.
Northampton, I think you're right as well.
There's more issues than that, though. When you look at those tries, the minimum expectation, like, forget tactics, forget matchups and player availability. The minimum expectation is effort.
Yeah.
And there was a distinct lack of it in some of those shirts. There was one particular try, I forget who scored it, where the Northampton tight head prop, like, brushed the back of a player with his hand. It's like mini. It was kind of mini rugby kind of tackling. It was absolute humiliation.
Yeah, there was several of those where just lack of awareness and discipline in defence.
Yeah,
and that should be absolute bread and butter.
Do you know what struck me? It's not so much the lack of effort from the individual players, but the lack of team effort. So you know, if you are the tight head prop and you're caught out in the open, yeah, I mean, that will happen to tight head props. But if he's not got his mate on his inside, you know, pushing him, and, you know, there's all sorts of other mitigating factors. To me, it was a lack of team effort rather than a lack of individual effort.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, that defensively was there. You flip it round, and offensively, it was very similar. There was that lack of kind of coordination.
No one knows what they're doing.
Yeah, it felt like no one really knew what they were doing.
So I know I've said this a million times, but I'm going to say it again. Why they can't defend is beyond me. Defending and being a defence... In fact, I'm going to go one further than I've done before. I could actually coach the Northampton defence. And if I couldn't coach the Northampton defence, right, I would find someone that could. I would probably... Do you know what I'd start with? I'd start with... Do you know one of those veterans that's got blown up in, like, Afghanistan or somewhere? And they now do, like, inspirational speaking, motivational speaking to companies.
Yeah.
I'll start with one of those guys, right? Because, you know, ultimately, the only message he needs to come out with is line speed and square and connected. That's basically it.
Put your body on the line.
Yeah, put your...
Commit to it.
Yeah. Who better to convey that message than an Afghan veteran? I mean, I think that is pretty much nailed on. After that, you can bring down some snakes, a couple of wolves, and if you want to sound, if you want to sound fancy, you just give it a name. You made me laugh once, Tim. When was it? You described Exeter's Exeter's defence as
there was one time. Anyway, sorry, go on.
A quick press. Oh, you mean line speed? Rapid advance. We're going to play a rapid advance defence.
Yeah.
So that's what I would do. I'd go right now. I mean, there's loads of veterans that. Loads of veterans that want work, so that works well for everyone, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's very, very bad times. I think that's 8 defeats in Europe and Premiership in a row now, and it's there's some very, very concerning issues there, and you do have to wonder how much longer can, as you mentioned it, Jim Mallander and Dorian West, how much longer can they last?
Well, it's a good question, that one.
I tell you what, I think the most likely scenario is Jim Mallander gets moved upstairs, like sideways or upstairs or something like that.
Okay.
West has to go. I heard a great story about West the other day.
One that you can repeat on air?
Yeah, go on then.
Okay.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
So, allegedly, when he first met Victor Matfield, Victor Matfield said something along the lines of... Hi, lovely to meet you. I'm Victor. If you'd like to, you know, get a coffee and discuss where you're up to with lineouts and stuff, I'd love to join in. Allegedly, Dorian West turned around and said, "Yeah, you jump straight. I'll worry about the rest." It's Victor Matfield. Wow. If he asks you out for a coffee, you offer to make it.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Well, on the flip side, let's try and flip it around from an Ospreys point of view. There will be. Some adult websites stalking the video of Alan Wynne-Jones streaking away from halfway, which many Ospreys fans will have some time on their own with.
Just cut the bit where he gets called back and the try gets disallowed.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just ignore that bit.
Just before we move on from Northampton, because...
Well, let us talk about Ospreys a little bit, because they were very good. I think they were.
I think they were okay.
I think Sam Davis...
I forgot the name of the chap. Is it Dan Evans?
Dan Evans, the fullback, who...
He always seems to pop up and do something really positive. Have a really good contribution.
He scored one or two tries against Saracens as well. He took these two tries, he took them brilliantly. And he set up one for Fonatia as well.
Yeah, so in some ways, Ospreys find themselves in a worse situation than Northampton. Because... At least they've been teased with the occasional performance. They did very well against Saracens. Yeah. They did very well against Clermont.
They did well against both of them.
So, you know, they can spark into life. And for whatever reason it is, in the Pro 14, they just don't seem to care.
They've not managed to do anything in the... They're bottom of their pool, weren't they?
Yeah. And, you know, with the players that they've got, you would hope a coach could get more out of them than what they do. So... You know, if Northampton are going to get rid of their coach at the end of the season, which I suspect they will and they should do, Ospreys certainly need to look at doing something, because it's not good enough for either of these two teams.
Yeah.
But yeah, they played all right. They played well.
They played well in this one game, but if you look at their entire season, that makes it 4 wins out of 15, something like that. It's that region.
They are dead last in their conference.
Yeah.
I mean, that is shocking.
One of the most incredible things, so watching the first 15, 20 minutes, Ospreys gave away, after 20 minutes they were on something like 8 penalties that they'd given away. Mm. They conceded the yellow card, and then all of a sudden they actually managed to turn things around.
Well, you know, it's like we just said, they have some genuinely good players.
Yeah.
But, you know, they are what they are. They're, you know, both teams are an absolute mess, and we're not going to see any more of them as... a meaningful force in Europe this year. That's them done.
They're both done. Yeah.
Can I chuck in as a little thread something that we saw quite a lot of this weekend? Balls ups. there was Teddy Thomas, which is probably the worst of them. Bearing in mind, Racing lost by 3 points. Oh. He tried to run the ball round under the sticks and dropped it in the act of going down to put the ball down.
Racing had a couple of calamities because there was that, and then they had two shots at goal in the last 3 minutes to, well, level it up. And I mean, if they'd got both of them, they would have levelled it up and then won it. But neither of them were particularly difficult, and neither of them were successful. Mm. So Racing will be, they'll be kicking themselves.
There was Danny Kerr's ass to face.
Oh, yeah. So
they're getting a cheek to cheek. So not in the way you want to be cheek to cheek.
So you're a New York Jets fan, Tim. Did it remind you of the butt fumble?
Yeah, exactly what I thought, yeah.
Are you aware of the butt fumble, Phil?
I am not aware of the butt fumble.
Search butt fumble on YouTube. Only on YouTube, right?
Describe it for any of our anyone that's not going to bother doing that, JB. Yeah,
So the quarterback, Mark Sanchez, runs into the posterior of the gloriously named DeBrickashaw Ferguson. And if you watch the Danny Kerr incident, it is very similar.
Oh, yeah. My God, I've just watched it.
Oh, but he spills the ball as well.
Yeah, and then the opposition just pick it up and run in.
I think they're playing the Dolphins.
He just runs straight into it. That's not even... He just sprints straight into his ass.
Yeah, I think he was picked number 2 overall. Whoops.
Wow.
Mark Sanchez. He was the first round pick about... Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So number 2 overall. First round pick.
He was number 6.
Was he?
Yeah, but even so, he was an instant multi-millionaire. Got us to a divisional final.
He beat the Chargers.
Easily one of the worst plays in NFL history.
Yeah, no doubt. So that was a major balls up, but Chris Ashton. Should we talk Chris Ashton?
Yeah, let's do that.
Now, firstly, before we do, if you haven't seen the balls up, then go and watch that as well. But I imagine everyone's seen it because any other player does this and it's sort of mildly amusing. For some reason, Chris Ashton does it and it's hilarious.
Hysterical.
And he capped off his horribly shanked kick that didn't get out of over the try line. And was collected by Jonathan Joseph and scored. He capped it off with the ash splash too, as he stumbled to the floor. it could have been played with Benny Hill music.
There'll be a lot of other nations rugby fans, so anyone but England fans,
and maybe England fans now, to be fair,
and probably quite a few England fans as well who would love to have seen that.
Now, is anyone believing in the hype? Well, not the hype, but in Ashton as a 15 yet?
I'm not quite there yet.
Tim?
No.
So
I believe him as a rugby player.
Mm.
Do you know? There's a lot of elements which go into that. So I believe he could play as a rugby player, particularly in attack. I believe you can put him anywhere. But it's such a unique set of skills that the best fullbacks have.
Do either of you think that it's a really smart move? As his pace declines, you being able to use his positional sense and just that ability to find a ball.
I'm not sure he's got the all-round game.
Mm.
So, positional sense going forward, yes. I mean, if you saw him under some of the high balls in this game, and if you saw his positional sense when some of the balls he let bounce and go into touch in this game, I would probably say no.
So we've talked about some balls ups and stuff, but let me put someone on your radar in terms of France who could play 15, but looks like he could well be the answer to France at 10. Matthew Jalibert, watched him for Bordeaux in the Newcastle game. I don't need to get into that Newcastle game too much other than to say Newcastle were outstanding, scored some incredible tries.
Yep.
And a lot of their second string and fringe players look the real deal as well. But Matthew Jalibert, this young fly half at Bordeaux, what a talent. What a talent.
So he's young, French under 20, something like that?
Yeah, 19 years old.
Wow. Wow. Fair play to the lad.
So I don't actually think the problem with France is they've not got enough talent. I think they've got loads of talent. I think the problem is they don't have any structures or coaching in place. And I'm sure he's great, but I can't help but thinking if he gets thrown into the French team, he'll probably end up like the rest of them. It seems to have that effect on their players.
Just like the rest of them.
I know what you're saying. And one thing I did love loads about watching La Rochelle is how it reminded me of old school France when I was first getting into rugby union and watching it, that they play how France used to play. And I want that kind of Gallic flair to return. And if they do that, they could then Mathieu Jalibert could have a big future. But I think you make a good point, JB.
Now, obviously, we need to talk about the biggest game of the weekend with the biggest teams. In particular, a team which I'm very interested in. But before I do any of that, let me tell you about Cornerstone. Cornerstone are our partners and we think the best shave that you can possibly get. For as little as £4 a month, you can get your lovely engraved aluminium shaft and an accompanying set of razors. Makes your face...
You've done that wrong. You've done that. You've said for £4 a month. You can get the incredible aluminium shaft engraved with your initials and six razors in a presentation box for just £4. Not even £4 a month.
Oh, my God.
Just £4. No obligation whatsoever.
And it makes your face really smooth.
It does. It genuinely
smooth.
Does. Or your... other, I mean, if I wouldn't recommend using a razor on any other part of your body, but if you were going to and risk that, you know, Christmas party season, you might think you're going to get lucky or whatever with the receptionist you've been eyeing up all year.
Yeah, shave your feet.
Cornerstone razor is the only one I would recommend letting anywhere near there. But what is more, JB, I mean, we're getting well into December now, aren't we? And this Cornerstone Christmas gift, £4, Secret Santa, your dad, your mum, your brother, whatever. This is absolutely spot on and a beautiful engraved aluminium shaft.
Do you know what, Tim? I am so delighted that you said that. It is the festive season. And to celebrate the festive season, me and Phil are going to Dublin and then we're going to Belfast. No, we're going to Belfast and we're going to Dublin. These trips aren't cheap. And it's thanks to you guys buying Cornerstone, allowing us to watch rugby, so you guys don't have to.
Exactly.
I mean, what more do you want?
Genuinely a fantastic gift. And unlike some of these other charlatans that are coming on and nicking Cornerstone's fantastic model with plastic razors, get yourself a proper metal one. Do it properly. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers or...
Egg 10 at checkout. You know the drill.
Yeah. Perfect. Also, we're getting into December. Just very briefly, go to our Facebook page because the Tier 2 Tour will be here before you know it.
March
10th, 11th, that weekend. Six Nations. We're going to be in Madrid with, well, a couple of hundred as it stands, Egg Chasers listeners, and we hope you want to come and join us as well.
Well over 200 people travelling, though.
Yeah, exactly. An absolute festival of rugby, of...
friendly banter.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
And
we will not suspend you. You will not get in any trouble if you pour a pint on anyone. That's just... that happens. How ridiculous is that cricket thing, by the way?
What happened?
So a load of the England players and the England Lions, who are like the 18, the youngsters...
Yeah. Yeah.
We're out in Australia. They were told, right, you've got an evening to yourself, go and do what you want, get out of your system, and then we start again, you know, in a day or so.
Yeah.
We go again.
Fair.
They went out. Duckett was the young guy's name, playing for England Lions. He, in a bit of a, I don't know whether it was a heated conversation or whether it was banter, or I don't really know the ins and outs of
banter.
It. But he poured a pint on Jimmy Anderson's head. And that is the entirety of the story.
What? So... What?
That is the whole story.
Oh, dear.
He poured a pint on one of his teammates or one of, you know, an England player's head, and that's it. Didn't. That's it. And so he's suspended.
Oh dear. That won't be happening in Madrid. So well done.
Ben Kay did.
I saw that. It was very funny.
A very funny tweet. He said, "In light of recent events, I'd just like to apologise for." In 2002, pouring a pint on Andy Robinson's wife, and thank Andy Robinson for not suspending me or for selecting me for the next game.
So, just a quick one on that story: they'd already won the World Cup, yeah.
2002.
So before
2001 is the World Cup.
2003.
Was
the Lions.
Ah, oh, right. Okay.
2001 Fine. Lions.
Yeah.
Oh, bloody hell.
Do you know what? The unintended consequence of all of this is going to be that we get more robotic sportsmen who don't talk to the press or be themselves if we start vilifying people for doing
normal pouring pints on each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a job.
Let the boys pour.
Yeah, exactly. Poor lads.
Boys play too right. Speaking of let the boys play, we've got to mention Aylesbury Rugby Club, who probably won Twitter for me and Facebook in terms of the way they reacted to the snow. They have teams, budgie smugglers, pink ones, and the whole team were going out and taking pictures of themselves out in the snow in just their budgie smugglers, which is well worth a look.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a few other rugby players doing this, because Benders did it.
Benders?
And Reinhardt, the Northampton fly half, both in just budgie smugglers or similar, went out and did Snow Angels.
Ooh, not
for me. Is this a thing that I haven't been aware of then, maybe?
I don't know if it's a thing or if it's becoming a thing, perhaps. But very brave for all of them to be doing that.
Well, Phil might do it, but I won't be doing it, so you don't need to worry about that.
But yeah, get to our Facebook page. Come and join us on the Tier 2 Tour for a weekend of drinking, of Six Nations, of a live brunch podcast, of Spain versus Germany in the Tier 2 competition, and of some very, very special surprises by World Rugby. Come and join us. It's still cheap for flights out there, and we're going to have a really good old time. So, yeah, come join us.
Absolutely. Right, I've got a game for you.
Go on.
Benetton.
Your beloved Benetton.
My beloved Benetton. And do you know what? They were going to do this. They were so bloody close.
Oh, I felt so sorry for Benetton.
Oh.
Because they played 55 minutes, more than that, with just 14 men.
Yep. So,
and they were leading for most of the game as well.
Yeah. So basically, the best player, from what I can tell, of course I know, I'm an expert. got red carded. And now, I don't want to turn into Tim Cocker here, right? But this was a farce. Actually, as are most of the yellow cards which have been given out this weekend. Now, the farce isn't the application of the law. The law was applied perfectly and expertly by the referee. I have no problem with the referee's decision on this. I have a problem with actual law itself, which is an absolute farce. Anyway, the Benetton guy gets red carded. That's
Minto.
A seven gone. Yes, that's the boy. And then Benetton just plough forward, playing some really good abrasive rugby.
Yep.
They chase down the Scarlets' lead. They take the lead.
Yep.
The Scarlets are done for. Now, at this point, I want to turn my attention to Scarlets. I have an enormous respect for the Scarlets team. The way they play, the way that the club has prioritised, you know, the squad over everything else. But I've got to say, boys, and girls for that matter, where were the fans? I mean, what more do you want from your rugby club? They've built you a new stadium. They've invested in players. They're champions. They play the right sort of rugby. And you can't be bothered showing up. This isn't Northampton. You know, this is a well-run, well-coached organisation. And you can't be bothered. It was absolutely shocking.
Well, it's bloody cold, isn't it? It's on the television. On the teledi.
But do you know what, Tim? Like, I'm a Welsh.
On a teledi's toilet, or is it television?
Don't know.
Television.
Don't speak Welsh. yeah, so the Welsh, I am Welsh. They claim that they're the most passionate rugby nation on earth, yada, yada, yada. There is something deeply and systemically wrong with Welsh rugby at the moment. If you can't get people out to watch a team like the Scarlets, believe you me, if the Scarlets were playing in Stockport, I would go and watch them every week, as I guess you would as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I would watch. If there's a team playing that brand of rugby with that many international players playing reasonably close to where I live, I'd be watching them all the time.
I mean, I can only imagine that. I mean, I guess one of the reasons is the terrible coverage that the Welsh press gives rugby in general. But yeah, really disappointing that the fans couldn't be bothered going. And if you're a Scarlets fan, have a long, long think about your actions and then go and watch Scarlets next week or the week after that. It's not good enough.
But Scarlett did eventually, much to my frustration, because I was rooting for your beloved Benetton.
Yeah, I was wearing my top.
But they scored two tries in the last 5 minutes, it was Steph Evans, one try and one assist. So a little bit of magic from Steph Evans.
Yeah.
Just to sneak it. Benetton still got 2 points out of the game, but they did deserve more, I feel.
The Sky coverage of this game was pretty poor as well, because throughout the whole thing, they were talking about Scarlett's chances evaporating in the European Cup. That is true. But it also would mean they also completely wrote off Benetton's chances. And if they win with a bonus point, which they're on for, they're in it. Simple as that.
Yeah, that doesn't fit with the narrative, though.
No, it doesn't. They decided the narrative before commentary had started, and, you know, that was going to be it. Scarlets look like Scarlets for about 90 seconds, and all it took.
They look like Scarlets for the first 5 minutes and the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And that was... Because it was two tries in the first 5 minutes, two tries in the last 5 minutes. Besides that, it was Benetton's game.
Yeah, do you know, I would say that Scarlets looked like a team that didn't want to do the hard stuff. They weren't interested. And it's a testament to how good they are as a team that they could turn it on when they needed to. I mean, I think that's a real sign of a quality outfit, that as soon as they need to, you know, pull something out, they can
they
do
did.
It. Despite playing horribly for 70 minutes.
Speaking of sides pulling out quality when they need it, let's talk about the final game of the weekend, Exeter-Leinster.
Wow.
Yes, let's talk about that one.
Now, I hate to say that I predicted this because I didn't want to predict an Exeter loss, but I just felt that Leinster were going to be a bit too powerful, and I kind of feel like it came down to that. It was Sexton getting Leinster in the right parts of the field, and then just that pack out-exited Exeter.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I mean, that try, it was the Jack Conan try in the 71st minute, which was after 44 phases, it was so reminiscent of the try I think Waldrum scored in the final.
Against Wasps,
which was after something like 34 phases. It was almost a carbon copy of that try. Exeter, it must be sickening for Exeter to watch what they do just be done that little bit. It's only a few percent better, but that little bit better by Leinster.
Completely agree, mate. The worrying part about this, I guess, is that it should have been more to Leinster, because they had a clear try disallowed. I thought one of them was in touch, so I was happy with that one. The second one was clearly a try and was ruled out because of the wrong question, as far as I'm concerned. The thing I would also say is that both these teams basically negated each other for large parts. I thought Exeter played the better rugby and the more effective rugby. I even think that Exeter had the beating of Leinster, particularly in the middle of the park. There was one phase of play where Exeter had five or six dominant tackles over the gain line, back to back to back. But when it counted in like the tight areas, Leinster were the better team, and that's what sealed it.
Yeah, I will say.
Yeah, you're talking about Exeter and the positive in the sense of they had dominant tackles, and that. Right there was the issue, is they could not get their hands on the ball.
Yeah.
That's different from dominant tackles, though. I mean,
what I'm saying is the fact that you're going Exeter had the better of them because they made big hits in defence. They didn't have the ball, so they were, I thought it was, they should have been 20 points down by half time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was actually showed a lot of grit to keep it as tight as they did.
So Exeter in the middle of the park, I thought were fairly dominant. That to me was relatively clear. What Leinster then did, which was very smart, was hoist the ball high.
What do you mean dominant, though? Because
as in dominant,
you're saying
like,
dominant.
As in dominant. As in, so...
Dominant in defence.
Yeah. If you watch our game again, Leinster do nothing in the middle of the park. They can't spread it wide. Their backs had one of the most quiet games that you'll see them play. But, in fairness to Leinster...
Henry Slade had a bad game.
Yeah, he didn't have a great game.
But all that Leinster did after that was hoist it up and work hard, chase down the ball. I mean, I've never seen Short and Woodburn looked so uncomfortable under high balls, and they looked, you know, they pressure. That's how they made up their territory, not through big flowing Leinster style moves, which is great. I mean, that's a, you know, that's a great game plan.
Yeah, really effective. I want to mention Don Armand again. I cannot believe this guy is not closer to an England jersey. I cannot believe it. 30 tackles.
Travesty, isn't it?
It is
so
and,
good.
And big tackles. And the criticism that Eddie Jones gave him when he said, why is Don Armand not selected? He wants him to do more in heavy traffic. It was the same weekend he scored two tries in heavy traffic against a massive Montpellier team. And he continues to really put it about. I cannot understand it.
Mm. Yeah, I am also mightily confused about that one. Just one thing. So you mentioned the two Leinster TMO reviews that didn't go in their favour.
Yeah,
there was one for Exeter that didn't go in their favour, and that was the Cronin yellow card, which the ref he gives a yellow card, but says
wasn't a try
scoring opportunity because Cronin was in a position to make a tackle.
Yeah, so it's not a try scoring opportunity. It's the likelihood is he would have scored a try is the decision on whether a penalty try is given or not.
But I think he would have scored the try. I thought it was quite clear he was going to score that try.
If Cronin got there,
yep,
and Cronin tackled him, if Cronin had hit him at chest height, not neck height, he probably wouldn't. I don't think he would have scored.
Well, I disagree because I don't think you can make that tackle unless you go head high.
So I don't think Cronin was in a position. This is the point.
Which is probably why he went head high.
Yeah, this is the point that O'Driscoll and Dallaglio were making in their wrap-up, was that if Cronin goes any lower, then he doesn't stop him scoring because he won't stop Jack Noel's momentum.
Correct.
So, but I definitely see your point, Tim, that it's not clear-cut and it's the balance of probabilities, and it is. My argument would be that he would have scored the try, but I can equally see the other side of that argument.
I mean, personally, I thought Jack Nolan...
The way Leinster dealt with that 10 minutes was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, personally, I think Jack Nolan should have got yellow carded because no way should a winger be getting caught by a hooker when you're streaking in into the corner.
It is Sean Cronin, though.
He's very good.
He is rapid, actually, yeah, that guy, isn't he?
He is.
I like Cronin a lot.
Yeah.
It was a tough. Is a tough one. That I mean, this goes back to what I said earlier in the podcast. The law is at fault here. That is never a yellow card in my book. Never in a million years.
Would you say no yellow card, but a penalty try?
Nope. Play on.
I thought you just said penalty try, though.
Oh no! Sorry. Wait. If I'm applying the laws as they are today,
okay.
Penalty try.
Yeah.
If I was applying the laws that I want, play on.
Okay.
So. You know, that's where I stand. There is no way.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It, you know, like the Treviso red, that yellow. What was the first yellow? Oh, yeah, Harry Williams, that doesn't count. these decisions are killing the game.
They're not, though. They're not killing the game.
They are killing the game.
So Leinster didn't concede any points. Well, when they were a man down.
Whoa. The point.
So how are they killing the game?
Well, because earlier on, Exeter had the same thing for a seatbelt tackle on someone else. And that, you know, when you're constantly blowing up and you're constantly giving cards, and not only are you killing the game as a spectacle to watch because of all the blowing up and stopping, you're going to kill the game because the severity of injury is going to go through the roof as people get more and more concussed. You can't stop. I mean, I'll give you a great one. There was a tackle by Nick White on one of the Leinster props. Right? Now, that sort of tackle, I don't think even exists about 10 years ago when they both, you know, chopping at the knees. Now, everyone's fine. As it happens, it's just a penalty for not wrapping the arms, yada, yada, yada. The point is, they're attempting these tackles now, head first, at knees, at hips, at all these other bits and pieces. It's too dangerous. That's why it's going to kill the game.
I get your point there, but it makes no sense in relation to the Sean Cronin tackle, because what you just said a moment ago was
it ruins the game.
The only way he can stop the try is by going head high.
Okay, right? Got that bit.
So in other right, yeah, fine, dealt with. We'll put that to one side, and then you'll go. But then you're going, I don't want that. I want that to be play on.
Yes, that's right.
You want it to be. Right, so then your coaching point is go head high.
Do you know what?
I understand saying cards. Let's step back from this. Let's no cards. However, I would say that Sean Cronin one, high tackles, I could be quite happy with penalty or penalty rather than red card or yellow card. I can go with that. If it's cynically done, as you were suggesting Sean Cronin's is, like as in he's prevented a try by going high, I'm a poet and I didn't even know. Look, it. Then I think maybe that's when cards do come into play.
The rugby union rules should be very similar to the rugby league rules in terms of the standard and how they're applied. And if that was the case, Sean Cronin's offence is not even an offence. And I know people are going to say, JB, you're so irresponsible towards player welfare. And it's actually the opposite.
Just think of the children, well, JB.
But then where does the line get drawn between this new phrase that's come in, seatbelt tackle and a shoulder to the jaw?
Well, I think there's a clear and obvious difference there. I think the seatbelt tackle is quite passive. I mean, that's one thing that I would say. I mean, you know, you've got to have a look at the force. I mean, there are other ways to judge it. And just because there is a grey area doesn't mean that, you know, that there aren't two polar opposites. Yeah, and a seatbelt tackle and a shoulder to the jaw is completely different.
There's never polar opposites. Like you say, it's a spectrum. It's a spectrum. And what World Rugby are trying to do, which I completely agree in terms of growing the game and reaching out to new fans who aren't long-term rugby players or understand the game in great depth, is they're trying to cut down on the nuances, and they're trying to cut down on the number of laws.
This has
and
nothing to do with nuances.
What you're suggesting would, well, it would, because you have to draw a line between a seatbelt tackle and a forearm and a shoulder and a whatever.
I think that's fairly straightforward.
Well,
what I will go with you on is, do we need to give red and yellow cards for high tackles to the amount that we are?
Yeah, look, we know what a malicious clothesline-looking tackle looks like. I'm happy for that to be a red card. You know, I don't want to see anyone concussed. But when you're looking at, you know, tackles from behind,
was illegal.
So, when you're looking from tackles from behind in the seatbelt manner, that's nothing. It just shouldn't happen.
But then you come back to this point we've made previously, is how do you determine the force?
Well, I'm
so glad. So do you need a spectrum of force?
Yes, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because that already exists. I mean, they already consider force when they tackle high anyway. It's one of the criteria that referees use,
not in determining whether it's been a penalty or not.
But they do still consider force for red and yellow cards. So on that basis, just apply that same standard, and then lessen the outcome.
Interesting.
Once again, I've saved rugby. I mean, like, I don't know how many times I can do this, but so at some point, someone's going to have to listen.
Okay. Any other games people want to talk about from this week?
There's a few things I I've got a little list of things I want to mention. Not so much games, but one, has David Pocock set a date yet?
Not interested.
Yeah. He said he won't get married until everyone in Australia can get married. They passed that law, so watch this space.
Tell you what. So, you know, obviously David Pocock is coming up with all sorts of excuses not to marry his girlfriend, which, do you know what? I respect. But I just want to know what his next social justice excuse is not to marry his girlfriend, because he's clearly got one lined up.
Simon Zeebo, his Instagram mess. Well, no, his try celebration dance, outrageous, reminiscent of Alan Pardew. And but his Instagram post where he took a picture of Peter Armani and CJ Stander, it just put loads of money bag emojis all around. It was very funny.
Which is rich coming from Zeebo. Because all three of them could be off to France next season.
That's devastating, that is, you know.
No, they can't. But Peter O'Mahony is not going anywhere. Remember Jamie Heaslip when he was apparently leaving and then got paid and then got a new contract? I am pretty confident that O'Mahony is just he's probably an agent trying to leverage a good deal, which he fully deserves to be paid handsomely.
Yeah, I am with you on that one, Tim.
I don't have a problem if Peter O'Mahony up sticks and goes. And the reason I don't have a problem with it is because if the money's right, short career, yada, yada, yada. You've heard all that stuff before, right?
But no one has a problem with it. I'm just saying I don't think it's in the offing at all.
Stander, on the other hand, I can see why this would stick in the throat.
Oh, because absolutely.
And yeah, this is apples and oranges, isn't it, between the two?
Yeah.
Like, if you can't offer Armani the right deal, it is what it is. He's done a great service. You know, he is Mr. Munster.
Yeah.
Stander, well, you know, you've stuck with him for long enough. You made him into an Irish international.
And a lion.
And a lion. And now he goes. Now he goes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then by your own views on what should happen in terms of international selection, CJ Stander can go to France and play for them in 3 years.
I wouldn't be opposed to it. I mean, it would certainly...
Yeah, you're joking, right?
No, I wouldn't oppose it at all. Go for it.
Oh, man. It will anger me.
The thing is, Tim, if France wants to lower their standards that much, right, that they will pick anyone, that'll be on them. You know, as we spoke about earlier in the podcast, it's about styles and identities and that sort of thing. That'll be on France. And maybe, because if you look at the French team with so many foreigners in it, maybe they already know this.
Forget the French national team in a minute. My issue with project players like CJ Stander in the first place is it diminishes what it means to be an Irish international or an English international.
Not
whatever. What you're actually suggesting is just...
Well, look, there are lots of problems, and ultimately you've heard my views many, many times on this, but yes, I am more open to a lot more player movement than maybe the authorities are, or maybe you are.
Okay.
Yeah, he can do what I suppose to round it off, CJ Stander can do what he wants, but it will say a lot about the individual if he goes to Montpellier, as is rumoured.
Yeah, that would stick in the throat massively. If I was a Munster fan, I would be somewhat upset.
Okay, considering... Well, that's you considering yourself being a Munster fan. How would you feel if
By
you
way,
were...
I don't consider myself a Munster fan.
No, if you were being a Munster fan.
Okay,
if,
yeah.
How would you feel if you were a Dragons fan?
I don't know.
So, Dragons have been linked to Quade Cooper and also bringing Faletau back.
Quade Cooper at Rodney Parade.
Do you know what the best thing is about the Dragons? Well, look, it's how upset all the vicious Welsh fans are, like down, and how passive aggressive they are on Twitter. It's like they say the most stupid stuff, like, "Oh, I'm not upset about the finances that the Dragons have got. I just don't understand where they came from." Yes, you do. You know exactly where they came from. Everyone knows where they came from, but you're one of those passive-aggressive, annoying Twitter bots. Probably Russian. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. And they've suffered long enough. You know, I was talking about the Scarlets fans the other day. Not the other day, earlier in the podcast, not showing up. Hey, guess what? Dragons fans have been showing up for a long time. Maybe they do deserve a little something. So good for them. And who's it rumoured? It's
so Quade Cooper and Faletau.
George North.
And George North, of course.
Well, George North, take it or leave it. Quade Cooper, take it or leave it. Bloody hell.
Faletau is the real deal.
Faletau? Wow. And all he needs to do then is find a seven. How hard can that be? I mean, they've probably
Phil, your fantasy draft team is going to be affected by Faletau's injury.
Oh, my fantasy draft team this weekend has taken a few hits. Danny Kerr as well. There's a few others as well. I can't remember.
Hang on, sorry.
Oh, Dolman out.
Can we just go back to Faletau a second?
Yeah.
What makes you think Bath will release him?
So, they won't necessarily release him. So, he's got 2 years left on his deal, this year and one more. Dragons have said they won't buy him out, but apparently Toulon are interested and will buy him out if he's willing to go there.
So, the next question would be, well, why would the Dragons buy him out?
But no, they wouldn't. Dragons wouldn't buy him out.
So why is he linked to them?
Because they would get him for the following year. So they'd bring him back, but in 18 months' time.
Surely if you sign for Toulon, it's not on a one-year deal, though.
Well, no. In that scenario, he probably wouldn't sign for Toulon. He'd see out his contract at Bath.
I'm with you, right. So it's not this year. It's the end.
It could be this year or could be for next season for Toulon, so, if he's willing to go and Toulon are willing to pay the right price.
This mystery money, which the RFU are giving to the Dragons, I just don't understand where it comes from.
And there's some private investment as well, isn't there?
From, not that, not guy, that I've heard is of.
The guy behind Just Eat, is it? Didn't he pay?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, I did hear about that.
He's the guy that basically paid Moriarty's wage, because his Moriarty's wage is not a central contract.
Amazingly, yeah.
What?
Yeah, it isn't a dual registered contract or whatever they call it, dual national contract.
Or NCD or whatever it is. Or whatever.
Why?
Yeah, NDC.
Why? Because, I don't know, because he gets paid in pizza delivery. I got no. Terrible for a professional athlete, but that's what happens.
He gets free pizzas, but you just have to deliver a few on a weekend.
Exactly. So, that is, that's what I've heard too. So, if the money's there, look, if I was going to be a conspiracy theorist, right? Do you know who I think the next player is to end up at Rodney Parade?
Is it someone who's already in Wales?
Yes, but leaving very soon.
Reece Webb.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Does that not make too much sense?
Yeah. Just a nice big dual registered pay packet.
Yeah. Delicious. I would love to see. I mean, it's bad news for RGC. That's the main thing I think of.
Because, of course.
I think that's the main thing. That's where everyone's first thought goes, JB.
Yep.
There again, I mean, I don't know enough about Welsh politics and rugby to actually speak about this with any authority. But it does make me wonder, if this is successful with the WRU behind it, what does that mean for the other regions and their independence? And do they even need independent regions? I mean, these are questions that Welsh rugby have been grappling with for far longer than I've been considering.
And let's see how this plays out, because it is rumours at this point. And another rumour is that Jordan Murphy may be putting his hat in the ring for the Cardiff job.
Okay.
Yeah, I've heard that. Which does feel like not the best move. Mm. So it's him having a shot as a number one job. Is it the number one job that you want?
No,
probably not.
It's a snake pit there. I mean, the Cardiff job has to be taken by a Welshman, I think, and it has to be probably someone with a Cardiff background.
Probably.
That seems to be the only way it's going to work.
Yeah.
Or a completely random New Zealander.
Yeah.
You've either got to be right in with all the politics or completely removed from it. Although Stuart Lancaster was linked to that role.
Was he?
Very heavily, yeah.
I'm not sure that's a good move.
The only final thing on my list of things that I scribbled down that I wanted to make sure got mentioned. Well, there's one thing. There was Ryan Wilson for Glasgow. Should he have had an HIA? He was staggering around after getting a front on head in a bad position tackle, and then
that sounds like yes.
Staggering around when Montpellier just walked past him to score a try immediately afterwards, and then we should point out, talking about Wales. Yes, that was Aled Brew running over the top of Toulon.
Yeah, Aled Brew had a brilliant game.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is amazing. Good for you, Aled. Well done. Congratulations.
Well played, Aled.
Just with Bath.
Going back to the Dragons.
Probably, yeah.
Carries on playing this well, he'll soon deserve Dragon money.
Just while we're with Bath, did you see that Bath have been charged for releasing Talupe Faletau by Premier Rugby?
Yeah, they're very strict on this, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. So he played outside. He played for Wales against South Africa outside of the international release window. And so Premier Rugby are charging Bath with breaking their regulations.
So if they want to take this seriously, do you know what I think they should be doing? They should not only be charging him... Bath.
Yeah.
Okay. They should also be adding it onto his salary number for the salary cap. So potentially Bath get hit twice. If they're really serious with it, they go... Because otherwise...
Interesting. We'll just keep paying the 50 grand or 100 grand or whatever it was.
So we'll just build that into contract. So Premier League will go, don't think so, boys. Here is 70k, and you've breached the salary cap, so that'll be something else as well.
That'll be £500,000 and a 5-point deduction for next season.
Yeah. How do you like those apples?
Yeah. That would certainly incentivise them against doing it.
One.
I did like... the bonus Bruce Craig Twitter account's reply to that suggestion.
Bogus Bruce Craig, not bonus, bogus.
Yeah, bogus.
Freudian slip.
Said, what is a salary cap?
It never gets old, does it, that someone who runs Bath Rugby Club is called Tarquin? It just never gets old.
Oh, dear, no, it really doesn't. We should talk about the next weekend's games because this is the double header. Like we say, we got the return fixtures.
Certainly do.
All right, let's do it a different way. Why don't we just say which results we think will be different from this week's?
Okay, so I'll run through them in order then.
Mm-hmm.
That means reminding myself of what the results were as we go. But yeah, cool, go for it.
So, Friday night, 7:45 at Ravenhill. Me and JB will be there.
Lads.
In the bracing cold, no doubt.
What are you going to wear, Phil?
I've not decided yet. If we're wearing tweed, we'll need a few layers underneath it.
You reckon? My tweed's pretty warm.
I think it might be quite cold.
I can take it.
Ulster hosting Quins. Obviously, Ulster won away at the Stoop in pretty dreadful conditions this weekend just gone.
Mm-hmm.
Great performance. Well, actually, no. It was a pretty terrible performance by both teams, but it was a good win for Ulster. So, change result?
No, I think Ulster will do it.
Give me Ulster as well, which actually gives us quite a good footing in the group. It's not a bad position. I mean, La Rochelle are going to win that group, but not a bad position to come for one of the second places. Then we'll go through. So Saturday in Pool 3 at 1 o'clock, we have Montpellier hosting Glasgow, which is going to be the same result again.
Agreed.
And then Pool 3 at 5:15 on the Saturday, me and JB are also going to be there.
Oh, what do you know?
At the Aviva, it is Leinster against Exeter.
Are you there for that, Tim?
No.
But BT are covering it, yeah?
They are, yeah.
Are they sending their B team then?
Clearly, yeah. They're only sending Craig Doyle and Brian O'Driscoll.
Of course they're sending Craig Doyle and Brian O'Driscoll to
Dublin.
Of course they are.
It's the biggest kind of social weekend of the year, this one, apparently. The last Leinster game before Christmas.
Do you know what? My little brother, who's not even a rugby fan, decided that he wanted to go to a game and picked Northampton-Leinster when Northampton were really good. Dressed all as elves, got on TV, and he'll back you up on this. He said it was unbelievable in Dublin that weekend. Are we staying in there long?
No, we're fly in, fly out of Dublin, or train in, train out of Dublin. We're only there for about 5 hours.
Are we?
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
So, either of us saying a turnaround, or any of us saying a turnaround from Leinster, Exeter?
Yes, I am.
Are you?
Yeah, I think Exeter will do it.
No way.
Come on. Look, it was a close game.
Not that I don't want that to be the case, just to make it interesting and set it up. I can't see it. I just cannot see it.
Exeter are going to do Leinster, and Montpellier will take the group because of it.
Wow.
I think, I can't see it. I do. There's so much I admire about Exeter, and one of those things is their and Rob Baxter's ability to analyse and improve.
Mm.
But I don't think they can improve quite enough to beat.
Do you know what I don't think they'll do next week? Their big change is going to be on the wings. So I love the two wingers they went out with. I love the ambition that they showed to have their best attacking players. I think if Dolman's fit, 100% plays, Noel goes onto the wing, and it's just to shore it up underneath the high ball, they won't want to be caught like that again.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
I don't think Dolman will be playing. From looking at his, it was a rib injury. I don't think they tend to be slow to recover. Anyway, yep. Let's move on. Leinster winning that one.
Yeah. Then staying on Saturday in Pool 4, Racing host Cast.
Don't know. Same.
Home.
It's got to be a home win. Yeah. Racing, who are again bottom of their group in the Champions Cup. They've only won one game, but I think they will win this. Then in Pool 5, 1 o'clock, we've got JB's beloved Benetton.
Now, this is where I think there's going to be no surprise. I think, actually, Scarlets will not be as complacent as they were at home.
Yeah.
I think Scarlets are going to look like Scarlets. This could be a big loss, actually.
I also think Scarlets will win, even though Benetton were brilliant for most of the game.
Though we will be watching. Wouldn't miss this one for the world.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then also in Pool 5, 5:30, Bath versus Toulon. Now, Toulon...
I'm going for Bath.
Yeah, Bath have been very good in Europe. They only narrowly lost to Toulon. And so give me Bath.
No Falatau's a big one.
That is a big one. But they've got other good back rows. They've got Paul Grant's tackle on...
Paul Grant's a good player, isn't he?
Yeah, Paul Grant's tackle on Ashton to stop him from scoring that try.
How old is he? He's young.
30, something like that. He's a Kiwi, isn't he?
Ah. Right, is he relatively new signing?
Yeah, last season he played. I think he's former Nottingham.
I don't wish to be cruel. How many games can you really win with, like, young Wilson and Aled Brewer, who played brilliantly, great, and then Paul Grant, and then, you know, whoever else that they can find to play, Scott Andrews, and then whoever, you know, just add the name. They can still put out a really good 15, but I just worry about the composition of this squad. Put it another way, I don't think that Bath can do this forever. The squad's going to creak. They're not going to win. That's the end of that. Toulon to win at Bath.
Okay.
They're going to sneak it. Toulon aren't great, and they're away from home.
Yeah, I don't think it's a vintage Toulon team. Bath are struggling, but give me Bath at home.
Mm.
Going on to Sunday, back in Pool 1, Wasps, 1 o'clock this is, Wasps host La Rochelle, which... Wasps did...
La Rochelle don't need to win now.
No.
They're probably going to go through regardless.
But they will want to get that top seed.
Yeah.
Because they are in prime position. They've 15 points from 3 games. They're in prime position to get the top seed. Wasps did come back quite well to score their fourth try, or maybe even their fifth try, in the game against La Rochelle. But I think La Rochelle are going to do this.
I can't see Wasps winning it. I mean, they have improved significantly. Danny Cipriani's back. That's great. It does mean a lot to them that he's back. They're just too complete. I mean,
can I
go on?
There's one thing you just mentioned that it's interesting. There was Dai Young was asked about Danny Cipriani's future and about James Haskell's future.
Ooh.
And I thought the quotes were quite interesting. James Haskell, it was, James Haskell's contract's up at the end of the season. What are you going to do? Dai Young's response was, what did he say? He said, he just said instantly, you'd go to war with James Haskell. Not to say that he will or won't be staying. I suspect he probably won't have his contract renewed at Wasps. But Dai Young said straight away, you'd go to war with James Haskell. Whereas for Danny Cipriani, when he was asked, Dai Young said,
Danny's Danny.
Well, no. He didn't. He said, well, you know, we're talking with Danny, but obviously Danny's going to have some great offers, and perhaps we can't compete with the kind of offers that he might get from France. It was marked in. It was very, very different.
I think the problem James Haskell's going to have is because he is an ex-club captain. He's probably on that. He's probably one of the better paid players there. He's really got to justify his place. And actually, those Wasps boys, they've got some good young flankers coming through. You know, it's going to be a tough conversation for them.
I think this is James Haskell. Probably the best thing for him would be to go to France or Japan.
Do you reckon?
Play for a couple of years. Yeah.
He's already done it, though.
Do it again.
There has been some rumours of Bristol, but that would be...
No!
That would be peak Bristol if they... That's exactly what...
No, that's a bad fit.
Bristol's issue is...
Yeah. You'd hope Bristol would learn from these mistakes that they've made in the past, but...
I wonder if he'd enjoy it in Manchester.
He'd get to hang out with you a bit more.
A lot more. Probably not even by choice.
Not at the AJ Bell.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, not there.
As much as you're working on it with your complimentary tweets regularly, I do enjoy that. Oh, look, mince pies at Sale Sharks. This looks nice.
Yeah, by the way, I think it'd be lovely to go for mince pies at Sale Sharks. In fact, I'll say it now. I miss mince pies at Sale Sharks.
So, are any of us saying a Wasps win?
I'm saying Wasps.
Now,
you two are saying La Rochelle.
Yeah. Now, if Wasps... So Wasps, they've got 6 points from three games. They're not mathematically out of it, but it's difficult. So give me La Rochelle. Then, in Pool 4, Leicester host Munster. This is a 5:30 kickoff, the last kickoff of the weekend.
Okay.
I am at this one.
I'm not sure Leicester can do this. Now, we didn't really talk much about the Munster game other than Zeebo's dance. But
oh, yeah.
Leicester were so beaten up, so well beaten up front.
Yes.
That Leicester never got the platform for George Ford to release someone like May or Vianu. Vianu, who's broken his jaw in that head clash.
Oh, no.
So, I think that... I think Munster's pack will give them, again, the right platform to win this game. So give me a Munster.
Right.
I think Munster as well.
So, yes, Munster, I think, are favourites going into this. Tua Lange is on the verge of coming back. He probably will be back. As is Tamua.
Tamua?
Yeah.
Really?
Now,
yeah.
Those boys coming back is... Tamua,
that's very different. You were saying previously, Jay, you thought he was out for the season.
No,
yeah.
Never said that.
Well, you said he was going to Australia
He's been to Australia. He's come back.
Oh, okay.
He went over the...
You definitely said he was out for a long, long time.
Pretty sure I'd remember that.
Yeah, I remember you saying that as well, so...
No, I said he's got a knee injury, and he's got a knee injury on the same... I thought he had a knee injury on the same knee that he had... major surgery on, so he went back to Australia to see his original surgeon. Never said that he was out for that long because we didn't know, but he is close to fitness, allegedly.
Interesting.
So, we have had it suggested that we get a whiteboard in the rugby dungeon that we write down.
The only person that would be embarrassing for Tim facts. Would be you.
The only person you'd be what?
The only person that would be a problem for Tim would be you. Because
what is that?
Because it proved my points over. I'm remarkably consistent. Not because I'm bright, because I'm stubborn.
Yes, yes, exactly. So even in the face of me and Phil saying no, we definitely both remember you saying Matt Tamu is out for a long, long time. They just haven't said it yet. You're like, no,
never said that.
Never said that. Didn't happen. Fake news.
No, I said he had a knee injury and he did go to Australia, so that is the Matt Tamu news. He is going to be back.
You definitely said that.
When he comes back, it's going to be massive for them.
That will be massive. How long it'll take those two to gel back into the team. So even if...
Well, it does seem to be, doesn't it? Like every time Tua Lange comes back, he scores immediately and then hobbles off.
Yeah.
So that's 5 points.
So it'll be 33-15.
Yeah. Do you remember when Johnny Wilkinson kept he kept getting injured? And there was, looking back on it now, what people have said is that happened is Johnny Wilkinson would kind of get a little twinge, and then he'd be pulled out of the front line, and they wouldn't play him. So he never played through those uncomfortable feelings, which kind of you have to play through.
I can't remember that being said, but yeah, I.
Since then, what they've said is actually what actually happened is he was just pulled out of the front line at the slightest twinge. I suspect what probably needs to happen actually when you're recovering from an injury is, yeah, twinges are going to happen. You just have to kind of get your body used to dealing with that and get over it a bit.
So
I hope they take a slightly different approach with Tua Lange and don't just the slightest anyway, we'll see. I hope he's back soon and firing.
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah. Then final two games. So in pool two, we've got the repeat of the madness at Franklin's Gardens, and that's Ospreys hosting Northampton.
The loser bowl.
Yeah.
Two teams.
There was a lot of niggle in this game.
There was, wasn't there?
So the last thing you actually need is the repeat of this fixture.
Or exactly
a week later.
Or exactly what you do need, Phil. Yes.
Well, maybe, but... So the last game had three yellow cards and one red card. I'm saying we might actually see more than that in this game.
So what's the narrative? Two of the worst coaching teams combined to see who can throw away the game which accidentally results in a hysterical win for one of the teams.
Hysterical win?
Well, yeah, because they're so bad at trying to game plan a loss, they actually accidentally win.
God knows what's going
to
happen.
It's like, like rugby's answer to the producers.
Yes, exactly, Tim. Exactly. Ospreys should win this, shouldn't they?
Yeah. I think Ospreys should win. I don't know whether it's going to be brilliant to watch or absolutely awful to watch.
Well, hang on. Was it a good game to watch? Do you know what?
It was a ridiculous spectacle. I loved watching that game.
Yeah.
Because it was just crazy.
The problem being, one of the things that makes the European Cup rugby so amazing are the atmospheres.
Yeah.
Munster was amazing. Exeter was amazing. Scarlets was terrible. Even though the rugby was good, the spectacle was terrible. So the Ospreys fans come out in force, which of course they won't.
Yeah.
It'll be great. And if the Northampton fans travel, which of course they won't.
Yeah.
It'll be great. So we might have a good game, but the spectacle itself will be terrible.
Northampton Saints have the pleasure of having conceded the most points in the tournament, 30 more than any other team after three games.
Oh my God.
They have a points difference of minus 72 after their three losses.
At what point does this get to... Oh, we've spoke about it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ospreys to win and a lot of points to be scored. And then finally, we get round to our game of the week. Now, we don't have any music this week.
Do you want me to hum it? No, I won't. Come.
But
So firstly, during this podcast, I've heard that the game, it looks like, is going to be played on Monday,
mm-hmm.
tomorrow, or today, as you're listening to this, yep. At Allianz Park, 5:30 p.m. with no spectators or spectators. I'm not entirely sure. I think it might be no spectators.
Presumably, if anyone can get there, they'd be allowed in.
Why would they do that?
Unless it's still a safety concern getting to the ground.
Well, unless they can't get like matchday officials and marshals and security.
Yeah,
I think it may be all of that, and also Saracens on weekdays don't play evening kickoffs because the traffic is so bad around. They're right near the North Circular,
okay.
So like a Friday night.
Is that like, right?
Are you listening, Sail Sharks?
hey.
So Saracens have identified that very close to a very busy main road, motorway, ring road, in a very large city, is not a good time to have a Friday night kickoff. So Saracens avoid that at all costs. This will be a Monday night, so that might be part of it as well. So I don't know. There's obviously been very long and fraught conversations because it is... you know, very, very late on Sunday night before it has been confirmed, or it hasn't even actually been officially confirmed yet.
Will it be on TV?
Yeah, it'll be televised.
Are you going to do it? Are you doing it?
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. That'll be so bizarre, you know, because
you'll
be able to, I mean, they're all quiet games, but you'll be able to hear the players. It'll be quite interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be interesting. We'll understand what it's like for Pro 14 commentators to do gigs.
Wow. Do you want to, before we go, shall we just address the deluge of tweets I've had about what is better, the Pro 14 or the Premiership, and does this weekend mean anything?
Yes.
Very quickly. Okay. The proof that the Aviva is a better competition than the Pro 14 is as follows. It's the Ospreys. The Ospreys can completely prove my point. So why is this? The Ospreys played pretty well with a relatively good team against Northampton. The problem is Ospreys are bottom of their conference. The reason that they're bottom of the conference is either they don't try or they don't play these players during these big games. No one has ever suggested that Pro 14, including me, that Pro 14 teams aren't as good, particularly at the top end, where I think we can all agree they are very good.
Yeah.
But the competition itself is not that good. That's the problem.
Yes.
Please do not tweet me again with any more. That is it. If you can't,
how many times have people used the phrase hobby league? Question mark?
Because it is a hobby league. It's a hobby league until they get to Europe. See Ospreys for details. That's exactly what it is. It's much better this year, by the way. It's better last year. It's better this year, and I suspect it's going to carry on getting better the more that the unions realise they need competitive club rugby. And actually, the South Africans have made a huge difference. So it is much better. But the Premiership is still the Superior League. And if you can't understand that nuance, please do not tweet me.
So overall, it is 5-4 in the Premiership versus Pro 12. So 5-4 to the Pro 14 in Premiership versus Pro 12 this season.
Mm-hmm.
But exactly the point that you've made, that doesn't really tell you very much.
No.
Game of the week then next weekend. So we're not going to know, as we make this prediction, how the game at Allianz Park will go. It will take away a little bit of something for the home advantage if there are no or very, very few spectators. But I still expect Saracens to probably put Claremont to the sword in that game on Monday.
If anything, it's even more weird for Claremont. I mean, if they were travelling thinking they're going to meet a Saracens team and it's all going to be boiling over and that's how they prepared, and then to meet them, you know, in a training match type scenario, I think it might even be harder again. So, yeah, you're right. Saracens win.
So Saracens win Monday night.
They win both.
Game. Do you think Saracens will go to...
Yeah, if they lose this, it'll be 5 on the bounce.
The Stade Michelin.
That's not happening. And if they lose this, they'll lose 6 on the bounce.
I think
both sides will win at home.
Yeah, I'm with you, Tim. Saracens at Allianz behind closed doors, and then Claremont in Claremont.
Yeah.
So go to Leo Vegas, leovegas.com. Put your money where your mouth is, but please bet responsibly.
When the fun stops, stop. No, don't. I mean, when the fun...
Well, no, if the fun stops, do stop.
Actually, no, I'm not allowed to actually joke about this, am I?
I've no idea.
Yeah, so
no, absolutely. Gamble responsibly. Yes. Gamble aware. And
someone tweeted me about this. Are you comfortable with, you know, with your gambling message? To which I said, yes, absolutely, because it makes it more fun.
But if the fun stops,
oh yeah, yeah, stop,
stop
immediately.
Yeah.
There only, and then
only gamble what you can afford to lose, so it's fun.
Yes.
And it just adds a certain something to that match day experience.
Exactly.
Yeah, if I need to concentrate on a game for this podcast, I'm not quite feeling it. A little flutter on one of the teams soon gets me involved again.
LeoVegas.com, gamble responsibly. Please. They've got a brilliant broad array of different bets. They know and love their rugby. And our game of the week, we're going for, two of us going for Claremont, and one of us going for Saracens. Take your pick.
Please be responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's it, gents.
Yeah, I think that's
nice
it.
Nice one.
Excellent.
Right, I will. I'll go get busy and prep for a game tomorrow. So watch BT Sport.
Yes.
5:30 PM kickoff.
Quite an exciting Monday night. It's better than my usual Monday nights.
Yeah, well, you won't be home by 5:30, so I don't know who you're trying to get.
No, that's a good point.
Free rugby.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, mate. Bye-bye.
Nice one.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.